Thank you.
Item number 5 from the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, requesting approval of the updated administrative plan for the Housing Choice Voucher Program. On May 14th, 2012, this item was laid over.
Good morning, Mr. Colon. We also hopefully have Corp Counsel really had to do the heavy lifting on this. We have before us the proposed administrative plan, which is very lengthy. I've got a copy of it sitting here if any of the committee members want to see it. Mr. Colon, I'm going to let you give some background information on why we're doing this, what you put in the plan, and so on. And then I'm going to recognize Attorney Foley.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. And Jim Matthew will give a brief overview of the report. But really, this puts process and procedures in place to make sure that our recipients and also our staff are aware of the program, of the HUD rules and regulation. This plan in particular provides clarity, consistency, and guidance regarding the Housing Choice Voucher Program. And Jim Matthew will give a brief overview.
Sure. Madam Chair, Supervisors, the goal of this plan, again, we were operating off a plan from many, many years ago that we believed wasn't quite specific enough really to assist our tenants as well as ensure that Milwaukee County is protected. The older plan kind of stuck to general HUD guidelines, and what our goal was using a national consultant was to make it more specific to Milwaukee County. Two of the major goals is, number one, to prevent fraud, and number two, to really get at our waiting list. We have a substantial waiting list here in Milwaukee County for our Section 8 program. We believe that some of these policies will assist us in getting to that waiting list. Again, this was referred back to the cycle, and Attorney Foley did spend quite a deal of time with Dina Hunt, who's the director of our Housing Choice Voucher Program, and I believe they can both speak to what was requested at the last cycle.
Thank you. Attorney Foley?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Why don't you come up to the table, please? Sir. And just so the committee knows, this is a very lengthy document. I give Mr. Colon's department credit. Apparently, we had been administering all of these policies based on assumed knowledge of policies, but there was really no one document that put all of those statements into a policy manual and really confirmed what those policies were. Since it was so voluminous, I did ask Corp Counsel and Attorney Foley. I think you've spent a considerable amount of time. And the major question you were asked is, are there any policy issues in there for this committee to be particularly concerned about before we take an action item on it? If
sure.
you'd address it from that viewpoint, please, we'd appreciate it.
Okay. And just very briefly, the beauty of this administrative plan is that unlike the prior plan, it is chock full of details and policy. And that's also the curse of it, because it's somewhere in the realm of 300 pages. I did review, and I provided Madam Chair with a highlight of those chapters. Essentially, the Housing Division worked with a HUD template to ensure that the legal requirements are met, and then also worked with an expert in public housing with over 30 years of experience to help customize it to local practice. So what it's done is taken what was in place and refined it and put it into writing so that the program's missions can be met in terms of what Mr. Matthew just stated about efficiency, reducing fraud, and enlarging the program to include more families. And again, it is full of policy decisions. That's where you come in. As the board here, you're essentially the Housing Commission. The amount of time it would take for you to dissect this program would be weeks, if not months. Dina Hunt has done a really nice job of working with the housing consultant. She spent at least a week, day in and day out, refining the program with her. But what I can tell you is that ultimately, what I see as your role is to approve this if you find that it does, that the policy decisions being made are consistent with the program's mission. And I have provided some particular chapters. I can tell you from my overview that what the Housing Division has done is closely adhere to HUD policy and and the policies that they've implemented locally go to day-to-day practices that Dina Hunt can speak to about operational decisions. And, for instance, I've included in here for the housing standards and rent reasonableness, that's Chapter 8, the local our housing division elaborates on HUD standards about safety issues and life-threatening conditions. Chapter 5, the briefings and voucher issuance, it details that if potential clients or tenants continue to miss meetings for briefings, that ultimately it will result in a termination of their benefits. It expands rent subsidies so that they can be two children in a room versus one room. That takes more people off the wait list. So what I'm trying to tell you is that, yes, this is chock full of policy decisions, but I am comfortable, given my review of it and my extensive meetings with Ms. Hunt, is that the policy decisions involved are faithful to the program's mission, and they adhere to what HUD is generally requiring programs to do, and it is a vast improvement on what existed previously. So I hope that's helpful.
Ms. Hunt. Just to reiterate what Attorney Foley was saying, that this is a vast improvement on what we're operating under right now. And the way that the plan is broken down, it references HUD guidelines and Code of Federal Regulations in addition to our specific policies. Many of these policies we have implemented and we've been acting under, but they haven't been in writing. So by putting this administrative plan together, this offers guidance for our staff to be consistent. It protects the program, and it also sets expectations for the tenants and the landlords, so all of the participants involved.
And we did receive several documents which were made available this morning for the committee members. I would like to especially point out to the last two documents in the packet regarding non-discrimination, overview, and verification, and so on. And, is it your understanding, both Attorney Foley and Ms. Hunt, that the code as written, the policy materials as written, are consistent with the overview of those non-discrimination laws and consistent with the implementation of those requirements?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, based on those opinions, committee, Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A comment to make is that this is probably the best kept secret anywhere. I mean, it's unbelievable if you get a chance to study this and go into in some depth what Milwaukee County does in housing. And the voucher program here and the renters, first-time owners, all the subsidized housing we do, we could get some very good press if we really got into the depth of this and the tremendous amounts of monies Milwaukee County puts into these types of programs. Where we've had problems in the past, and I want to compliment Director Colon and all the people in front of us, because these are complicated issues. HUD has changed the rules several times. We got into some severe problems a couple years ago. I presume record keeping is a priority now because they're very strict. They change rules. It's like behavioral health when we get these changes from the federal government and these standards. We have to be on top of things here, and this is an excellent start that needs to be done. As it says in your analysis, Attorney Foley, and your very first line, HUD, Housing and Urban Development, funds this Housing Choice Voucher Program and the Milwaukee County Housing Authority, the MCHA we're talking about, as a designated public housing agency administering the program on HUD's behalf. So HUD has some strict guidelines. So we need to follow those. We need your expertise, and we need people like yourselves on the ball watching this so we don't get in any trouble with HUD anymore. The CDBG stuff and everything else that goes into all this. So it looks like, Madam Chair, and thank you for your leadership in getting these kinds of things organized here, because these are such tremendous programs, but they're really very reliant upon strict controls, and HUD really changes the rules, so we need someone watching those and staying on top of things. And, this is really good. This is what we really needed to have done for a long time. And I'm very happy to see something going on here, because these are just wonderful programs for hundreds and hundreds of people in these areas and others that Milwaukee County helps. So I think something we should be proud of and thankful that we're getting this detail done finally, Madam Chair. Thank you. I will make the motion approved.
Sorry, Madam Chair, Supervisors, I just wanted to publicly recognize Dina Hunt for all the work she put into this. It was an incredible amount of overtime and extra hours, and you can see how detailed the plan was, and I'm just really proud of her work, and I just wanted to publicly recognize her for that.
Supervisor Manthey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to say that I think that when they went through this program, it was very good. I wish that we had more detail of the policy changes and compare what policy we're actually changing, even though you said how did we change that policy. Second of all, I'm not going to support this because I asked in the last meeting, I'm one of the few that I would like to meet with you to go over those policy changes. You have done a very good job, but let's make it very clear. The fraud in Milwaukee County was not the individuals. We did not do the paperwork and we kept up with our procedure with HUD. We have some people have done fraud. If you look at the number of fraud cases that we have within Milwaukee County in the suburbs, it was not that great. Is that we're changing the policy, and I think it's going to be very helpful for our employees to understand exactly what they need to do and keep up with the record keeping. And that's the issue. And also the administration realized they cannot use federal dollars for other administration costs. And that's where we got into trouble. It was not dealing with the individuals who was in the program. You have some people in the program, I'm not going to lie, that created fraud. But Milwaukee County is the one who had the problem, not the individuals who were in the program. So let's make that very clear. And I'm glad that this program is set up. Before county board, can I meet with somebody, particularly on Monday, so I can go over it, so I can at least understand exactly what you're going to do? Because this is very important. And, again, change of policy, even though you gave a summary, we need to know what changed. Because if anything go wrong, Mr. Director Cologne going to say, well, the county board approves this. And it's not because of you. Past administration, I'm a little gunshot when we change policy and we really don't have the real facts in front of us. And that's really where I'm coming from. But I commend the young lady who took time because I knew you took a lot of hours in there. It's not that I'm against it. I just want to understand it. Thank you.
Mr. Cologne, someone needs to meet with Supervisor Mayo.
Madam Chair and Supervisor Mayo, absolutely. We'll make sure that that happens. We'll meet with you, give you a brief overview of all the changes, and we'll definitely schedule that as soon as your schedule allows.
Thank you very much.
Any other concerns from committee members? Supervisor Schmidt.
I mean, I realize there's so many nuances and things like this, and, you know, I read more than enough on this already. The Supervisor Mayo correctly points out, I think, you know, a summary sheet for changes, or if that's possible, I think everybody in the committee should get that, and I appreciate Supervisor Mayo bringing that up. So if that can be done, Madam Chair.
You've heard the request. I guess the question is this going to be possible in a summary sheet, or are we going to get another manual explaining the manual?
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. But you will see in the manual itself, everything that's Milwaukee County policy is indented and labeled, so you know what's our policy, and it's underneath. I am happy to meet with you and answer any questions, and that's not a problem at all. But in the manual itself, the policy is specifically noted.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, really the bigger difference, and what might be helpful, Supervisor Mayo, when Ms. Hunt meets with you, to kind of take the old plan versus the new plan. The old plan was really just general HUD regulations. The new plan breaks down all those regulations into our policy. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to see when you put the two plans next to each other. So that might be a helpful exercise for individuals. When we gave you the individual report, we tried to take the best overview of the policies we could to put it in the report because it is such an expansive document. But we'd be happy to kind of bring both plans to go over what the difference was in the past versus the present.
Thank you. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want you to re-clarify because we talked about the old plan a little bit and how kind of unusable it was because it was so, as young people say, whack. So can you just clarify about how bad it was and how we had to really do a lot of legwork just to really get that up to date to what we needed?
Yeah. The old plan is about 100 one-sided pages. It contains very little policy, and that really is what the issue is, because when we are trying to maintain consistency, oftentimes one of the first questions from our participants is, where is that in writing? And currently, we really don't have that. HUD guidelines are just that. They're guidelines, and it has nothing to do with specific policy. So since I started here in October, I have been taking notebooks and notebooks full of notes for about 4.5 months before I met with the consultant of the issues that I saw or things that I saw coming up time and time again. So that's what this plan did, was to put those things in writing, again, to offer the guidance for our staff for consistency and to the tenants. So the largest difference between the old plan and the new plan is the old plan had the HUD guidelines, and that was it. This plan has our policy specifically, and we had pointed out some of the specific items in there. There are many. I will grant you that. But it's just really in regards to policy and day-to-day operations and our expectations from the participants.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The updated plan is to take people off the waiting list and to give them housing. To what extent is that going to be done? I mean, what are going to be the changes in the numbers? What do you foresee as the changes in the numbers?
That was one of our goals when we were formulating the new plan. One of them I had noted, I think it was in the board report, in regards to our subsidy standard. So now the way that bedrooms are awarded based on the subsidy standard, and that's what the funding that is granted is based upon number of bedrooms. So in the old plan, we would have separate gender sharing or having separate bedrooms. In the new plan, we've raised, I think the old plan was from one age to another age, and then also we have two people per room, period. So obviously people can use that subsidy and buy a larger, they could take a two-bedroom subsidy and get a three-bedroom apartment if it was very important for them to have the separate bedrooms, but we're only offering the funding for the two-bedroom. For instance, if you had a single mom with a college-age student, they would now have a one-bedroom subsidy, not a two-bedroom subsidy. And that was something that was important to us. We want to grant the help and the aid that we need, but we don't want to go overboard for each family individually, because we'd like to spread the funding out to help as many families as possible.
And do you see any numbers? Do you see how the numbers are going to change?
I don't have projections on how the numbers are going to change, but I do know that we have a lot of circumstances right now where they have a new child, and then it's another bedroom, and that's more subsidy. Mm-hmm. And the way that the new admin plan is written with the subsidies, they will have the option, like I said, if they want to find a place, a three-bedroom place for a two-bedroom subsidy, they always have that option. And if that is important for them to have separate bedrooms. But we don't have specific numbers or projection right now, and our clientele is ever-changing as well. But I know that it will have a large impact on being able to help more families.
Well, 30 years ago, 32 years ago, remember, Zach, I was with the I was an intern with the Sydney Marcus Renaissance Program. And I know that this can be very harrowing with respect to dealing with the HUD regulations. So I want to congratulate you for your work. You, Principal Assistant Corporation Counsel Foley, for your work.
Thank you
very much, and Mr. Massey.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your work.
Supervisor, you
want
the floor again?
Yes, just quick, to show about policy. I commend you have changed some of the things, but particularly when my constituents may call me about the voucher system, that is a big policy change when you say about children, same sex. What age do we go up now that different sex would be in a room together instead of
age five?
Okay, see, that's fair. But point, that's a policy change that I think everyone should understand. What kind of policies are we changing?
I agree, and that's why I put that in the board report. Mm-hmm. That one in particular, but I agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I would like to also thank Attorney Foley. Quite frankly, a lot of these policies, unless you are on the ground administering this housing, you're not going to even understand the effect of the policy that you're passing.
Mm-hmm.
But from a big picture viewpoint, it does seem that it's better to have it spelled out in a manual, and that's what's been stated to us. So we have something to work with. And I think just to kind of make the committee members comfortable, is it our understanding that should we come up against a policy which we have second thoughts about, can it be changed by this committee again?
Absolutely. Yes.
So it's something that we can revisit if we need to. And in terms of having a policy written and available for constituents to understand versus having unwritten policies that they then have no understanding of what they're dealing with, it basically makes sense to at least get a policy written to perhaps be revisited later if we find out that something kind of slipped through the cracks. So,
I understand there's been community input as well, which these two can speak to.
Great point.
Sure. Madam Chair, Supervisors, one of the other things, I don't think the program has actually ever done it before. We did have a public meeting for, we sent out mailings to every single tenant in our program, over 1,700 individuals, specifically to weigh in this plan and the policy decisions to see if it affected families. So we did do that. Do you remember when it was, Dina? In April or so. So all of our tenants are aware of the plan. They had access to it if they wanted to weigh in any policy decisions.
I want to thank Mr. Colon, Mr. Manthi, Ms. Hunt, straight down the line, of course, Corp Counsel Foley, who I'm very much relying on your opinion today when I make my vote. But I thank you for your work.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right, if there are no other questions, please call the roll.
Madam Chair, what was the motion?
To approve the recommendation is spelled out in the report. I think it's to approve the proposed administrative plan.
Updated administrative plan. Housing choice voucher program.
Supervisors Bowen?
Aye.
Mayo?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishan?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
Six ayes, one no. The item is approved.
Thank you all for your work.